What are the weirdest or most unexpected things that have happened during a flight for you?
Most unexpected? I don't know. I'm trying to think about it. I mean, I've had weird things. Like, what's the most efficient way to study for the FAA written exams?
I would say, how do pilots maintain situational awareness when flying in congested airspace, Carson?
Aside from hoping for the best.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com. And let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and, of course, amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Carson, what are we doing today?
We're doing a podcast.
Oh, thanks so much for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Happy to help.
Yeah. All right. What's the podcast on?
We're going to be doing some more listener questions. These are a lot of fun. They always talk about it. They're a lot of fun.
I enjoy it.
It's just putting Brandon on the spot. It just really scratches an itch for me.
I'm sure you do. So,
why don't we do the first one then? Let's get that itch scratched.
Absolutely, especially with Oshkosh coming up. I think this one's appropriate.
So I'll ask it and then I'll change it a little bit for Oshkosh. So what's it really like flying into an uncontrolled airport during a busy fly-in event? But for this, just consider it a controlled airport.
Let's start with the uncontrolled airport and not a fly-in, because most fly-ins are at controlled airports, so they'll have a temporary tower or... sometimes they won't, actually, and you'll just have to deal with it. So there are some airports that have fly-ins and there are no controller, right? So you just need to be very, very, very eagle-eyed. Look out for all the other airplanes and just assume that the people that are talking are the ones you shouldn't really be worried about. Those are probably the ones you're seeing. Be wary of the ones that aren't talking that you have no idea where they're at. So your head should literally be on a swivel all the time looking for more and more airplanes because they're the ones that are not talking to you. Or they might not even have radios depending on where they're at, especially if they're in uncontrolled airspace. They might not have radios. They might not have transponders. They may not have ADS-B out. They might not have anything. So just pretend that those are the ones you're looking for. And the other ones, obviously, you know where they're at because they're announcing the positions just like you should be. And you don't want to hog up the airspace if you're at a busy fly-in event. So you might not need to call crosswind and then downwind and then base and then final. You might just want to do one or two of those because if you're in kind of the conga line, right, and you entered this properly, you entered like a left 45 or you overflew the airport and then at a teardrop in the left 45 or right 45, depending on whichever side they're using, then you should probably just kind of get into that conga line and just kind of call your final and landing and all that other stuff. But there's going to be some Yahoo that comes in and tries to cut the line of everybody who is on an IFR approach that thinks that they get to cut the line because they came in IFR. And that is a thing, by the way. People will come in IFR.
And just try and go straight in.
Oh, yeah. They'll just try straight in, even though there's six people that are in the pattern, like trying to land. I've seen it happen. It's happened at Corona several times for me.
Oh, it happened in Oceanside to me. That was terrifying.
It does not mean they get to go straight in. Oh. Now, if it's IFR conditions, yes, they get to go straight in.
Yeah, but then we also don't have the concern of six other people in the pattern.
So. Yeah, I mean, and there's a reason why a lot of these airports say circling approach.
Yeah, I mean, you come in IFR, you drop the IFR and join the pattern like a normal person.
Like a normal person. Yes, you should. Now, unless you're at minimums and you just have to land, but most uncontrolled airports, that's not what's going to happen. They're going to offload you at basically circling minimums. And by the way, circling minimums doesn't necessarily mean it's pattern altitude. It could be 500 feet above the runway. And that's what you're circling minimums. You go in, you make a left circle, and then you kind of teardrop in.
I didn't know that.
Oh, now you do.
Thank you.
Welcome, Carson. All right, next one. What are the weirdest or most unexpected things that have happened during a flight for you?
Most unexpected? I expect everything. What's making me a good pilot?
Yeah, of course it does.
I don't know. I'm trying to think about it. I mean, I've had weird things like, you know, my oil pressure just dropped. Like, that's weird. That's scary.
But, and what was the problem?
The engine overheated. It was just
dropping.
Yeah, it was just not happy.
Oh, that's weird.
It was 6-1 Gulf, you know, just kind of had some issues.
Yeah, well, it's had a couple engines probably since you flew it. I've noticed that if you just see kind of a sudden like go to zero on the oil pressure, typically that's not an issue with the airplane. It's a sensor issue or a gauge issue.
Yeah, usually you'll have a slow decrease if there's a big problem.
Yeah, or, by the way, don't take this as advice if it goes down to zero in flight, by the way, everybody.
Don't think it's okay.
Yeah, don't think it's not. It's okay.
You have an issue one way or another.
You should declare an emergency and you should land as soon as practicable.
Yeah.
Always in those types of situations. But I'm just saying, if you're diagnosing the issue, and that's probably what's happening, but I'm not going to be the one in the airplane with you. So you need to make the PIC decision and decide what you're going to do. And I think if it went down to zero rapidly, the decision is go land immediately.
Yeah.
And stay as high as you can until you have a landing assured.
Otherwise, you'll see, if it drops to zero rapidly, you'll see a lot of oil come all over your windshield, right?
That could happen.
Or another problem.
Or goes all over your belly.
Yeah, it'd be terrible. But either way, weirdest or unexpected things. I mean, Redlands Airport, there's been coyotes on the runway. That's always unexpected.
That is unexpected.
That's cause for an immediate go around. It happened to me one time after I barely touched down and just...
Wow. I've had an enormous amount of birds, like flocks of birds on short final that just come out of nowhere. Those are always unexpected, but those you can deal with pretty easily. You just move, right? By the way, birds always dive.
Yeah, that's a good one to know.
Yeah, birds always, not always, but like the majority of birds, they will dive. So if you dive, the bird will dive with you and you will hit the bird.
Yeah. Pull up, go to the right, go to the left, the bird's going to dive.
Usually. Yeah. Also, unexpected thing for me, I was flying, I think I've probably told this story over a year ago or so, but I was taking off in a multi and unexpected thing. Well, I've done a couple unexpected things with the multi, but I tried to put my gear up and the gear alarm just will not turn off. I put it down, gear alarm still stays on. And I had a little bit of a gear emergency. I had fire trucks rolling, everything. I thought the gear was not coming down.
It's a slight problem.
Or going up. Yeah, I mean, it was a problem. So, and then I look in the mirror and I'm like, I don't know if my gear's all the way down. So that was an experience.
Well, you can always test that just by landing, right?
Yeah. And that's how I tested it, by the way.
It's awful.
I also had another issue where, similar to what you were saying, I had my RPM dropping rapidly. And then I looked to my right wing on a Baron, and guess what? I see blue everywhere. So that means
fuel
leak.
That's not great.
Yeah. And fuel leaks can turn into fires, and fires can turn into explosions. And
we want none of those things in the air or on the ground, just to be clear.
Yeah. We want none of those things. So that was really probably the most unexpected thing that I ever had. I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go land straight ahead.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
And I'm going to go by my training, control power drag, identify, verify, fix or feather. In this case, Feather
right away.
Feather right away. Turn off the fuel. Get rid of it.
Nice.
There's just a few unexpected things.
Yeah. Well, there's another question we have, and I think it's perfect for you because you're really studious. What's the most efficient way to study for the FAA written exams? I know you're a big studier. You love all this stuff.
I hate studying.
I know. Brain always crams it and then ends up with a C.
Yeah, like C-.
C-.
I don't mind studying for something if I need to, by the way. I'm just a terrible test taker, like the worst. You can quiz me and talk to me about all sorts of stuff outside of the test.
And you're super knowledgeable and confident in all of it.
Yeah, and I'll admit when I'm wrong on certain things, all sorts of stuff. But the problem is when you give me this exam, I'm not good at getting rid of half of the answers and then whittling it down to two and trying to figure out exactly what they're trying to ask in this weird obtuse way. Yeah. I think that's the word. Really odd way, right? It's kind of an issue, but I would say don't cram. I would say the day before your FAA written, don't study because whatever you know.
It's too late.
It's too late at that point. You should be studying just long-term, just a little bit every single night. If you're using Shepard Air and you're memorizing the questions, just know that, hey, if you're using Shepard Air and memorizing the questions, you need to know the information for your check ride still. So you might be passing this test, but if you don't actually know the practical application of what's on that exam, then you are not going to pass your check ride later on. So you're going to have to continue studying even more so than you would if you would just study for the written test originally and just read the FAA books. Just remember, everything that's on the FAA written is in textbooks. Like they give you the answers, right?
And the whole test is multiple choice.
Whole test is multiple choice. So you can normally get rid of two answers out of the four.
Yep.
And 50-50 it. Some people are better test takers than others. Like I said, I'm a terrible one. I'm consistently in the 70s, except for on my FOIs. I actually got like a 90 something.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, the foundation down. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. It was good.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's a brain.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
But I would say just study consecutively. Don't try to cram. Study every few days. Now, you're a lot younger than me, Carson. I know he loves to throw that in my face. Mm. How do you study? Not necessarily just for an FAA written, because you've only taken one, but in general, what are some good study hacks to get yourself ready for these tests? And I know a lot of people are already creating study hacks because they're still in school or high school or college. But there's also a lot of people that haven't studied for a long time. And that was me when I got started. I was out of high school for, 8 or 10 years already when I started.
So one of the best pieces of advice I can give is use AI. Use ChatGPT. They have free accounts. It's a great tool. So what I would do, and what I've done for some other tests, is ask it to act like my instructor, like an expert in that course. Act like you're my instructor and quiz me and walk me through, in this case, we'd be going through the whole like pilot's handbook, aeronautical knowledge, PHAC. Go through that. And so take this one chapter at a time and quiz me. And anything I don't know, let me know and just teach me. It's like having a personal guide, personal instructor.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that people that are still used to going to school might not even try.
Yeah. Just ask ChatGPT to act like the teacher. And it's like you have a personal instructor right there.
I need to try this now.
You do. The other thing is taking practice tests, getting a good feel and good sample of what the actual test is going to feel like. You don't have to give yourself the time restrictions or the limits, but just understanding how those questions are actually going to be phrased. Then when you see them and then they're all obtuse, you're not surprised. All right, next question. What's the best advice you've received from a CFI that stuck with you?
Don't give up.
Oh, I mean, you got you here, so it's and then not
also,
bad advice.
Also, probably the best advice ever is trust your instruments. There's so many people that don't trust their instruments, especially when you start getting into IFR. You're like, but I feel like I'm turning.
But my body's telling me.
My body says I'm turning right or turning left or whatever it may be.
Okay, you want to trust your body that much, spin circles for, a solid 60 seconds, then try and stand up.
Yeah, exactly. And
tell me if you're trusting your body then when you start falling over.
I'll trust the instruments.
Yeah, the instruments are never wrong.
Not never wrong. That's a nice
double negative.
Double negative.
I know. We're doing like a whole English lesson right now.
I know. I was thinking of a double entendre.
Entendre.
See, look at this. All these big words.
You thought it was
a C? I don't know.
Entendre?
Yeah, whatever. You know what? I passed high school and a class or two in college, so works out.
It works out.
And I passed all my flight exams.
You did.
I did.
You did.
Yeah, see? Yeah. That's all that matters.
Do you have to get like a special note from your doctor and saying, give me some extra time on the test?
Exactly, I did. Okay, so I think we've got another... How do pilots maintain situational awareness when flying in congested airspace, Carson?
Aside from hoping for the best, that's probably one of the best things that an iPad can do for you.
Hope for the best?
Hope for the best. having ForeFlight in your iPad, it is not something you should use like a fish finder, right? Have you heard the old pilots say that?
I have.
Got him on the fish finder.
Got him on
like,
the fish.
Okay, yeah, ATC doesn't accept that as the answer. But the iPad's great for having a good idea of who's around you, where you're at, what airspace you could be bumping into or getting close to, and what next frequencies you have. It just kind of limits that workload that you have on you. And not having the iPad, you have to have all your frequencies ready. You have to have the weather ready. You have to know what's next constantly and be on the lookout and keep track of a lot of different people around you. It's a lot of work, right? Being a pilot's not easy. But having the iPad really helps with situational awareness. If you don't have an iPad, writing things down. Don't try and remember everything. That's the number one thing that'll get you overworked.
That was kind of going to be my answer, actually. I was going to say use a knee pad. I was going to say the same thing. Use a knee board. And I actually don't like the ones that are with iPads, right? I like the actual knee boards that
with
just
the metal
have
one
paper, with paper on it.
Paper and like the little things you always forget behind it.
And I always want to write on those because I can just look down and make a quick jot. If I'm using an iPad, like on a knee board iPad, The problem is now I've got to go switch between things, and it actually creates more issues, I think. I think if you can use the iPad on one leg or mounted or whatever and use that as situational awareness, that's fine. And you want to have ADS-B in and you want to see that and you're in an area where ADS-B is required, sure, that can be fine. But I would say use a knee board and handwrite all the stuff that they tell you. Just data dump whatever's on your mind and write it down, because you don't need to be remembering everything ATC says. The biggest thing, not just situational airspace when flying, situational awareness while flying. You can also talk about it when you're at like a Class Charlie or a really giant Class Delta airport, like Long Beach. So if you're getting these long taxi instructions or you've got this really long ATIS that you have to know, why memorize it? Just write it down. There's so many people that get, especially as you get older, and I'm guilty of this all the time. I'll just listen to ATIS and I'll hear the three things that I need, right? I'll hear the wind, direction, and speed, and I'll hear the altimeter setting and maybe one or two other things, right? And then I'll know what the information Bravo is or whatever it may be. And I'll just remember, oh, it's information Bravo. And I just did this and this, and I know the wind's not going to affect me. Oh, I don't have to worry about it. No, I should probably write down all the things.
It's not hard, especially when you learn or figure out your own shorthand, like taxi instructions, like alpha right to Bravo, alpha, little arrow to the right, then B. Just having a shorthand like that helps you get through things faster, have that situational awareness on the ground or in the air.
And when you're
not trying to write full sentences.
Yeah. And it says like climb and maintain 4,000, right? So I just put a little arrow up. I put 4,000 and I put a little line under the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And that tells me climb and maintain 4,000.
So whatever works for you, figure it out. You have time and just develop that.
I fully agree. And I think on that note, let's call it a day today.
Carson. Okay.
I think that was a great,
you look like you're ready for a nap. Questions.
I need a nap so bad. I haven't been able to sleep well lately. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you stressed out about something?
No, never stressed.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Just normal life, of course.
Yeah, we're calm here.
Yeah, calm. So, well, thank you everybody for listening today. Really appreciate it. If you'd like to reach out to either me or Carson, you can reach us in our emails, Brandon@aviationmentors.com or Carson@aviationmentors.com. For our producer, it's producer@aviationmentors.com. By the way, just had somebody, I'd let you guys know last time that you can connect with us via LinkedIn, and that's a really great way. Somebody did recently and gave us a shout out, so I really appreciate that. You were actually the first person to contact us on LinkedIn. We get emails all the time, but LinkedIn, it's kind of rare. So sorry it took me so long to get back to you. I go in there and check my messages sporadically, but that was fantastic. So thank you for the words of encouragement on the podcast. It really makes us feel really good. So thank you so much if you're listening to this today, and hopefully we're helping you as well. Also, please do not forget to go on everything, including our LinkedIn, our social media pages, and YouTube to like, follow, subscribe, share all the things that make social media great and help us grow our podcast and, of course, grow the aviation community. We just want to be a resource here for you. So thank you again for listening today.
Thank you, everybody. And as wrap up for the day, remember, here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See ya.